T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rolling.
Hey, welcome to the Morning Wolfpack Share Your Salary podcast, a chance for you to catch up with what we've been doing at 6:10 and 8:10 every single morning on the show. So we'll talk about it after, but let's take a listen right now in case you missed it this morning. Army First Lieutenant Tyler. Oh, by the way, I'm Matt, and there's Emily.
Hi.
And there's Joe.
Yo.
And we're all here. But take a listen to Army First Lieutenant Tyler sharing his salary.
The Morning Wolfpack with Matt McAllister, 100.7 The Wolf.
How much do you think a Space Needle window washer makes? Or a barnacle scraper on the Bainbridge Ferry?
Dude, you're not supposed to ask someone how much money they make.
Maybe, but we can guess. Let's play Share Your Salary.
Because we all want to know what everybody else makes for a living, but it's never okay to ask until now. The last time we played Share Your Salary, we learned that dental hygienist Brooke makes $78,000 a year. Bam. All right, on the phone with us this morning is Tyler, who is at JBLM.
Okay.
Good morning, Tyler. How are you?
Good morning. Pretty good.
Fantastic, man. I think based on the fact you're at JBLM, we all know what you do, but you're a little higher up the ranks than maybe some people realize. You are a U.S. Army First Lieutenant.
That's correct.
Well, God bless you for your service. Thank you, Tyler, you and your entire family for your sacrifice. We are very much looking forward to talking about our next military breakfast, too, coming up on Veterans Day weekend. Hopefully, Tyler, you could be our guest and we could serve you for a change.
We'll see. It just depends on where it is.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the details later. We got a lot of things to get to before that. So let's put 60 seconds on the clock. Let's play Share Your Salary. Let's ask you as many questions as we can in that amount of time. When we're done, we'll play a 3-minute song. We'll gather our thoughts. We'll come back. We'll guess what we think you make. And then you're going to tell everybody, Tyler. And by the way, you're not going to get any trouble with the upper ranks for doing this, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. 60 seconds on the clock. I feel like Tyler is a little tight-lipped, and we're going to have to pry this can open.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Here we go. 60 seconds. Begin.
Did you enter the Army as enlisted?
I did.
Why did you pick the Army?
It sounded fun at the time whenever I enlisted.
How long have you been doing this?
This job for about 2 years.
How long did it take you to be able to spell lieutenant correctly?
A couple of months, actually.
Yeah, it's tough.
How long have you been in the Army as a whole?
About 6.5 years.
Is a code red a real thing?
I'm not sure, really.
Do you plan on retiring in the military?
No.
Do you think you're going to make your bed after you retire?
I'm sorry?
Do you think you're going to make your bed after you retire?
I don't make my bed now.
Yes! So. Do you live in military housing?
I do.
How quickly can you assemble your weapon?
About a minute.
Do you have a wife and kids?
I have a wife.
Do you believe there should be a draft?
I do.
Have
Sorry,
you ever
Emily, time is up. There you go. Tyler at JBLM, a U.S. Army First Lieutenant. There you go. Morning, Wolfpack. If you want to help us out, please, please, please. I always use one of your guests. I love you guys. Text your guest right now to 46150. What do you think Tyler at JBLM is making every year as a U.S. Army First Lieutenant? And if you can stand by for 3 minutes right after the song, Tyler is going to tell you. He's going to share his salary coming up next.
The Morning Wolfpack with Matt McAllister, 100.7 The Wolf.
Let's play Share Your Salary.
Because we all want to know what everybody else makes for a living, but it's never okay to ask until now. On the phone with us is Tyler at JBLM. He's a U.S. Army First Lieutenant. And by the way, Slow Joe, you spelled lieutenant wrong on the phone screener.
No, did I?
That's a good question.
I'm still working on it.
It's one of the toughest words out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Emily, what else did we just learn?
So, he's been a First Lieutenant for about 2 years, but joined the Army as enlisted 6.5 years ago. He has the capability to assemble his gun in 1 minute, and he doesn't make his bed now.
All right, I was the winner the last time. I love the way you put that one in there. I was the winner the last time we played, so I got to go first. I am going with a text message. Amber in Kingston, thank you for taking the time to text us, 46150. She is at 68,000, and I'm going with it. That's a pretty good salary, and he's been in a long time. And you got to remember, these military guys, they make less money, but they get a lot of perks.
Right.
So
I feel like you guys are on the right track. However, I'm going to go even a little less. I'm going to go 59.
For the first lieutenant, 59. All right, Slow Joe, bringing up the rear, and why?
72,000 because he's a first lieutenant, and he's been in 6.5 years.
Okay, all right. So the spectrum here is 59 up to 72. I'm in the middle with 68. We're all bunched right there. So, Tyler, it's that point in our conversation where we stop guessing and you tell everybody how much money you make. Time to share your salary, Tyler. As a U.S. Army first lieutenant, what is the number?
61,000.
61. M for the win. Oh, well, hey, you know, your dad was Army.
That doesn't mean anything. I didn't know how much he made.
Just trying to give you a little credit. Jeez. Tyler, so you said you weren't sure about the code red. What does that mean? Are you bound with the code of silence and ethics?
No, I mean, it's not a thing here that I know of anyways. Maybe other bases are different here. I've never heard of it.
So, Tyler, in your opinion, what is the most realistic movie that you've ever seen about being in the Army or the service?
Most of them are fluff, really. So, I mean, I like military movies. They're all fun to watch, but I don't know anyone off the top of my head that's really realistic.
Gotcha. Well, listen, Tyler, we appreciate you so much sharing your salary. Again, we'll have more information on that military breakfast coming up. Hopefully you can stop by, bring the fam. It'll be all good. We love you, buddy. Thank you again for your service and for being a part of the Morning Wolf Pack.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. So there you go. Tyler pulling in $61,000 a year. And Tyler was one of those guys that it was a little challenging to pull out information from.
Mm-hmm.
And it always makes me think about, you know, the movies and what he said about, you know, I don't know. You wonder if stuff like the Code Red, I mean, I don't know if Hollywood just made that up.
I don't think so. I think Tyler is just, I think he's oblivious. I think he's in denial. Or he's been Code Redded himself and ordered not to reveal about the Code Red, lest he be Code Redded again.
That sounds like a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that a lot of that stuff, like everything else in the world, probably used to happen a lot more than it does now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure that movie...
What is Code Red supposed to mean?
A Code Red is when, so the whole thing about the Army is sort of like you have drill instructors and whatever, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're like, you police your own regiment. Like if somebody's not keeping up, you make them keep up. So in the movie, and again, it's a movie, so you don't know if it was based on a truth or not, A Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise.
Right.
And so
they
basically
beat up each other.
No, there's one guy who's pulling the whole platoon down because he's not pulling his weight. And so what they do to punish him so that he'll do better is they take bars of soap, they put him in a pillowcase, and in the middle of the night, they go beat him in his bunk. And it's called a Code Red. Mm-hmm. And so you wake up the night and, you know, you're beaten to a pulp, but it's like, dude, run faster during the drill, stop pulling all of us down, stop getting us in trouble, shine your boots better. And I'm sure that at some point that was probably pretty standard.
Oh, yeah. And, well, the same exact scenario took place in Full Metal Jacket, too. Another really phenomenal war movie that makes you think. I mean, obviously, it's grounded in some truth.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing about all those elite training forces like SEALs and Rangers is like, look, man, they're trying to get you to quit.
Well,
they want you to leave. They're trimming the fat.
Well, that not only that, but even in, like, at war, there's all this like hazing going on and stuff like that. And there's some case that I've been kind of keeping half an eye on where these two special forces Marines, whatever the Marine special forces are called, they killed an Army Green Beret guy because of something, because he was like, you know, he was going to tell on them for doing some shady stuff. So, I mean, this kind of stuff goes on all the time.
And they have their own language, their own unwritten rules, the honor codes and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. This is a very loose analogy, but I can imagine having been in one that it's a little like being in a fraternity.
Totally.
Where there's a pecking order. And when you go in as a freshman, as a pledge, you get beaten basically for an entire year.
Yeah.
And then you earn the right to beat others. And then, you know, but you don't tell anybody. It's all secretive. Like, they have you kind of brainwashed a little. You don't reveal, like, the handshake, and you don't talk about the mottos and the hazing ritualistic dogma.
And every couple of years, somebody shut down all the frat houses, and then it, like, slowly picks back up again.
You know, by the way, people that are in fraternities, they frown upon that particular frat. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that old language. But it's just funny going through that system when I did. In the college that I went to, there wasn't really any choice. You just kind of had to do it because it was the only social outlet in the middle of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like when you would call it a frat, like when you learn that as a freshman, they would say, would you call your country a blank? It's like, don't ever call it that. It's a fraternity, not a blank.
Wait, what's your...
Shorten the word country.
Oh.
Oh, that's dumb.
But that's the kind of stuff. And it's like... Oh my, like even to this day, as a grown man, when I hear you say that, I get a little hivey because I know that that's like a punishment.
Oh, I use it derogatorily. Yeah. Like frat boys and frat house.
Yeah, it's not a good term. And it's not meant to be a good term.
Yeah.
You know, and then I get all that. And in fact, our fraternity was kicked off campus, I think, the year or two after that I graduated. I mean,
it must have been a good one.
You know, listen, I think there's a lot of men, just like the military, that could benefit from going through something like that, because you go in and there's a lot of attitude and ego and you get humbled to a point where you become less that way. And I don't think it's a bad thing. But I would rather see guys go through it in the military than a fraternity.
Yeah. Didn't you have to like sing some song naked for like 24 hours in a basement?
I did. I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred.
And there was a bunch
in Spanish.
It was, and there was a bunch of you guys down there?
Well, it was Hell Week.
Yeah.
So that was the culmination of 16 weeks of hazing, where at any given time, and granted, at the same time, you're supposed to be getting an education.
Right.
But at any given time, your phone would ring at midnight.
Yeah.
And it would be just, I'm upperclassman drunk, like, dude, I need a pizza and a 12-pack right now.
Yeah.
I wasn't even 21.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'll figure it out. So in that sense, you know, you just, but Hell Week, there were many things.
Yeah.
And it was mental and physical and, but, yeah, I mean, you definitely had guys that like halfway through were like, that's not worth it for me. I'm out.
Yeah.
So, but you know, again, I wouldn't trade it. Is it juvenile? Is it sophomoric? Is it all? Yes, but it also kind of, it made the whole experience really kind of cool, like to get through it and then to get 3 years of doing it to other people was really kind of cool. And I'm still best friends with all the guys that I went through that with, kind of like in the military.
Totally.
You create a bond. And granted, it's less about dehumanizing anybody or, but there was a lot of stuff that would go on that, I mean, you know, it's not exactly an environment that's really conducively safe for women.
No.
You know what I mean? You get a bunch of guys, like-minded guys drinking all the time and late night parties. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you look at it and like, I would not want my bonus daughter, for example, to go to a late night fraternity party.
No.
Because those guys are, but the thing it did educate me on is that I can accurately tell her now, this is what guys do, and this is what you have to know is on their brain, and these are the tricks they're going to play.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it. So in that regard, I think I bring some good education to the table.
Sure.
Like, we are about as smart as a field lamb. Enjoy that. And Emily, you're always sort of tight-lipped. I mean, you didn't get a lot of experiences from your dad being in the Army.
No, he was out of the Army by the time I was born.
That was kind of like a younger
man. He was in the Army before my mom even.
Like, did he get any medical training in the Army?
He did not. He did practice dentistry in the Army, but he was done with dental school by the time he got to the Army.
And how is it that he was chosen to be buried in Arlington? Isn't that a special kind of honor?
Well, so you have to be buried in Arlington, you actually have to be either retired or killed in action now because of basically getting full.
They run out of space.
Yeah. But if you were cremated, which my dad was, they have space in the columbariums, because, I mean, it's like a foot-by-foot space.
So what's the word you just dropped?
Columbarium.
Wow. See, I've never been, and I don't know the
vocabulary.
That's
where you put any, and that's in any cemetery, where you put, like, the walls that have all the cremations in them.
A columbarium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
And so that you just have to have been in the military, and I don't know if you, I think you have to be in good standing with the military. Like, I don't think if you're dishonorably discharged.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my dad is there. And the reason we put him there was because when he passed, my brothers and I were like, you know, we don't want to split up the ashes. And he always loved Arlington, because if you've never been, the cemetery is just amazing. And it brings you peace. Even though it's like sad, it's just done so well, and the honor that's there. And he really enjoyed his time in the Army. So we put him there, and then my mom will eventually join him in the columbarium.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So you,
after she goes to the body farm. Yeah.
The what?
So my mom in her will, she's going to the body farm, which is in Tennessee, and the FBI runs it, and they basically it's research on how your body decomposes in different situations.
Jesus, that is,
because she's like, I'm to the age now where I can't donate organs, so, you know, they could prop me up next to a tree, or they can wrap me in plastic and put me in a trunk. It helps for them to solve cases of, you know, oh, this body must be this old, or, you know, that sort of thing.
You think they ever put anybody through a wood chipper?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, they do everything to say, this is how it looks, and, oh, based on her being in a trash bag and taking this off.
We never did that in a fraternity. Okay, that's next level.
But so once she's done with that, they'll give us her bones cremated, and then we'll add her.
Whatever's left after the wood chipper.
Yeah. Well, they slice it. And imagine being one of the trainees, knowing you're dealing with real bodies. I mean, that'll desensitize you really quickly, which is the whole point.
Yeah.
Good Lord. All right.
Woo.
Dig on that. I guarantee you Santiago's not buried in Arlington.
No.
Guy got code red at heart.
No.
Santiago. It took me all of this podcast to think of the name of the guy that got the code red.
You
got to
get it in there.
When were the orders written to get Santiago off the base? You never seen A Few Good Men?
Nope.
I think you might. Well, is it a dude movie? I don't know. Demi Moore's in it.
No,
I mean,
it's not a dude movie at all.
It's more like a legal movie.
Yeah, it's a courtroom movie.
Yeah, and it's Jack Nicholson's performance.
Is that when they say...
you can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Who's going to protect that wall? You? And it's like a little preppy Tom Cruise. Yeah. It's a great watch, man.
Oh, it's so good.
I think you and the new boyfriend, that's a movie. That's a good boy-girl movie because there's something for everybody.
You know what that reminds me of that I just watched like a few weeks ago that was really good was the Pelican Brief. Remember that one?
I read the book.
Yeah.
And I think, was that a Tom Cruiser?
Yeah, it was a Tom Cruiser.
Where they like set him up with the girl on the island.
The lawyer, yeah.
John Grissom. Yeah, he had his moment. He had his day.
Whew.
All right, listen, we love you guys. Thanks for checking out the Share Your Salary podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow. And actually, tomorrow's is going to be really good and kind of Halloween themed. It is a state hospital supervisor. And, you know, I don't know, but I always hear the stories. Maybe it's because...
State hospital therapy. So
therapy,
she's
like the mental patients. Mm-hmm. And they always hear like the hauntings and they used to do lobotomies and there's people with half brains running around. Anyway, 8:10 tomorrow morning. Stream it live on the radio.com app. Love you guys. Bye.
The Morning Wolf Pack with Matt McAllister.
Weekday mornings from 5 till 9.
On 100.7 The Wolf.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.